shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
All right, new start here.
Oh, we're going on. Yes, it is. Hey, what's up? It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen coming to you live. It is a Wednesday, game one of the Stanley Cup final tonight. Yes, we're excited for it. About 6:15 puck drop Mountain Standard Time, 8:15 if you are out east. And we got the kid Tyler Cool, T Cool. No Tuesdays coming at you, but hey, we are here and it's a Wednesday. We're buzzing. We're flying. Avs, Bolts tonight. The big news, Braden Point appears to be in the lineup. Brandon Hagel still on the fence. Tyler, have we heard anything yet about the Avs goaltending situation?
Well, last time I checked, Janner, you know, of course, you know, friend of both of ours, Peter Baugh from The Athletic, tweeted out this morning saying that Darcy Kuemper was in the net. That's usually where the starters are for the morning skate. Now, I know some people don't think that's a huge deal, but it kind of is. Like, it's crazy how, you know, it's something that's happened over the last few years. Like, people kind of realize, like, hey, this is the one net where starters are. But, you know, as of right now, they haven't said anything official, but, you know, it might be Kuemper. And I don't know, Janner, you know, you look at the numbers, Francois has better numbers. And yes, Darcy Kemper's been the starting goaltender this entire time, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of going with the guy that hasn't played since, you know what, game one of the second round. Of the latest round. Cause I really think Francois, while he was not as busy as Mike Smith was during the conference finals, he still played well. He was still a good goaltender. So I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, you can go with both goaltenders, and yes, the rest is for both guys, because obviously it's been a while since the Avs have touched the ice after taking care of the Oilers pretty quickly there. But I don't know, man. I really think that I would have gone with Francois, but like we said, all signs right now unofficially are pointing towards Darcy Kuemper starting game one.
Adam Benilla's in the chat early. Let's get it on. Let's go Avs. Adam, aren't you a Phoenix Coyote or Arizona Coyotes fan? Maybe that's not Adam. Maybe I'm getting them mixed up. Christian wants to know in the chat, is Kadri going to be in the lineup? I believe John or Bednar
said
it's, yeah, I know. I'm throwing this one out at the wall, hoping it sticks. No, I believe they said Kadri's unlikely for the start of the series. Correct?
Yeah. Well, it was a day-to-day decision today. So, you know, and I know that a lot of people are like, why didn't we hear about this sooner? I'm like, well, because it's a thumb injury and players have fought through worse, as we saw with Leon Draisaitl during the conference finals. So I can see why they'd sit Kadri out for this first one, especially, you know, and I really think he's a guy that, you know, deserves this opportunity with all the crap he's been through, not just in these playoffs, but his entire career, like dating back to Toronto. And, you know, obviously he had a great junior career playing for the World Junior Team in Canada and London Knights and all that. But, you know, I expect him to come back in this series. If there's any beneficiary of having 2 days off after tonight, Janner, that's what it could be. And I think we might see Kadri in games either two or three.
Cristiano Santiago says Avs in six. We gave our predictions. It's up on social media at World Hockey RPT, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's where you can find us. Danelle Weaver as well. What's going on? Everyone say what's up in the chat. Let us know where you're watching from. So tonight is the start of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Lightning and Avalanche. Who do you guys got winning the Cup and in how many games? Well, we already posted it, but I will just give everyone a reminder at World Hockey RPT is where you can find us. Tyler made his choice and we were quite similar, although I had to choose a little different. You said Bolts in seven, and I said Bolts in six. Why? Because I didn't want to go with seven with what you said. Adam said Avs in seven. So, Tyler, you got a couple of seconds. Give us your quick reasoning.
Well, Ric Flair, you know, woo, in order to beat the man, woo, you got to beat the man. And right now, nobody has beaten the man of the NHL, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this might be, you know, we're making all these comparisons to the Lightning of the 1980s New York Islanders. Well, does everyone forget who the Islanders beat in 83? The Edmonton Oilers. I think this is the Colorado Avalanche's 1983 Edmonton Oilers season, where they lose that first cup, get a taste of how close they were, and come even back hungrier next season. So I'm saying it now, Janner. Congratulations to the 2023 Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche.
What do you think about Danelle's next question? Do you guys think the final matchup between the Lightning and Avalanche is the best matchup in the finals we've seen in a long time? Do you agree? I would say not a long time, because my favorite Stanley Cup, you know, final in since 2011, I'll go as far back, and that's Blues and Bruins. I thought that was unbelievable in 2019. That was an amazing 7-game series.
It was a great series, but I'm looking at it from the anticipation sort of things, because this could be as we've seen with the Battle of Alberta and the Western Conference Finals, this series could be over in 4 games, okay? This is one of those types of things, one of these types of playoffs. But in terms of anticipating one series, and maybe it's because I was living in this state, I kind of got the hotbed for it, but those 08-09 finals between Pittsburgh and Detroit, you know, Sidney Crosby and Malkin and Fleury and Letang all coming on the scene at the same time, against the established veterans and Datsyuk and Zetterberg and Lidstrom and my boy Chris Osgood stepping up in those playoffs. I just remember going into those series, and Doc Emmerich even said it himself, that there is as much firepower between those two teams that there were compared to the Edmonton Oilers and the Islanders of the 80s. So now we're making that comparison to this final here. So it might eclipse that. Now all we got to see now is if they can eclipse the results and the excitement of both of those playoff series.
Well, we got to get to our guest. He's waiting in the chat today on World Hockey Report. In about 15 minutes or so, we'll connect with Arif Dean from Mile High Sports. Half an hour, Chris Cran, beat writer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And right now we go off to my favorite. And I was looking back a year to the date we had this guy on. It's Eric Erlandson joining us from Lightning Insider. Eric, I think we got you. How are you doing? Oh, maybe we don't have Eric audio yet. We got to check.
What did you do, Janner? Did you break his computer already?
Yeah, I don't know. I might have broke it, but we'll get back to Eric in a second. Of course, if you got a comment, something going on, say what's up. Adam Benilla, he wants Kemper to go. So you got a thought on that? Like I'm, you know, Yotes would pick up an extra third round pick.
Well, Adam, you're 1 U short of Kemper, but I agree with you. I mean, I can see why you'd want Kemper to play. He's played well in these playoffs, but I just go with the guys played recently. Franzos is hot. He's undefeated in these playoffs. So that's my reasoning with going with the wrong-handed, right-handed catching goaltender.
Interesting. Does how Franzos played against the Oilers factor into any of that for you?
Oh, 100%. I mean, he really, even though he only had to make, you know, 25 to 30 saves a night, while the Avs, let's be honest, ran roughshod against the, as we found out, depleted blue line of the Oilers. Franzos had to make some big saves, especially in that clinching game as well. He had to come up and make some nice stops. That's heck why they went to overtime, because the Oilers really had some good looks there towards the end of that Game 4 in regulation. And, you know, here's the thing too. I mean, I make this reference all the time. Two of the greatest goaltenders in the history of our sport, Kenny Dryden and Marty Brodeur, they on average, if you probably go back to the numbers, they might have faced, 25, 30 shots a night on average with their defensive structures they had, those great Canadiens teams of the 70s, and of course the Jacques Lemaire 1-3-1 trap of the 90s of the New Jersey Devils. You know, they didn't have to make 40 saves a game, but you know what? When they were called upon, they made the big saves, because if they didn't, well, you know, they would have lost. If you give up 2 goals on 15 shots, you look pretty bad. I mean,
now so, we got them. So let's go to Eric Erlandson here. Lightning Insider is joining us. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We'll fire producer Eric for that one. Eric, when you look at this game tonight, obviously point is back. Where do you falter on the rest versus rust argument?
Well, the Lightning felt the rust last series, right? They were not very good in that first game against the Rangers, so it'll be interesting to see how the Avalanche handle it. First of all, don't fire your producer. I'm sure it was on my end. I'm technologically challenged sometimes with these things, so I'll take the full brunt of the issue to start the show. No, look, it's not easy. You want the rest, and any team will tell you they'll take the rest, because in the playoffs, we know how high intense and the adrenaline and everything else that just saps your energy and the physicality that it takes to play in these games. So you'll never turn down the rest. But there comes a point where you do wonder how much is too much. And the Lightning found that out last series. They were off for almost 10 days between games, and they were out of sync. They were not comfortable in their system. It took a little bit to kind of find their legs. And more importantly, Andre Vasilevsky looked rusty. And he looked rusty, and especially in game one where they scored six against him after giving up just three in round two against Florida. So my biggest concern would be with the goaltending, especially if it's Kemper. We assume it's going to be Kemper who gets the nod here. And he didn't play the final three games against Edmonton. So it's been a little bit longer for him since he's seen NHL action. And you cannot replicate that in any way, shape, or form. I don't care how much you scrimmage. I don't care how intense you make your practices. It's just never the same. For me, though, like, I don't wonder if the altitude is a great equalizer here, right? Like, Colorado lives in it. They play in it every night. They've obviously been here for a while, practicing and training in it, where the Lightning came in on Monday after they practiced, and they practiced here yesterday. But a lot of people I've talked to through the years have said it's actually worse to come in 2 days early as opposed to trying to come in one day and then try and get out as quick as possible. Regular season's different. You're not sticking around. But I don't wonder if that might be the great equalizer to whatever rust Colorado might have to start this series.
You know, it's a good point you make there, Eric, because I traveled with Western Michigan out to Denver, University of Denver, for a couple games. And I can tell you, as good as Western Michigan was, with, you know, with Ethan Frank and Drew Warren and a great team they had, they got put it nicely, they got throttled by the Pioneers, who at that point were on a bit of a slide. And while they all said, oh, you know, altitude's not a problem, well, they looked a little sluggish in those two games. So I can see why the altitude might have something to do with it for sure.
Well, and you know, I talked to Pierre Edouard Belmar before the team left town, and obviously he played here and he's been here as a visitor too. Look, it's a real thing. There's no denying that it is a real thing. It's how do you deal with it? There's only so many things you can do to combat it. It just is what it is. Short shifts to start the game have to be there because your lungs are going to start feeling it maybe 30 seconds into a shift as opposed to 45 seconds into a shift. Might not seem like much, but as we know, that's a lot for a hockey player if you're trying to, you know, suck in as much oxygen as you can.
Who's been the X factor for you these playoffs, Eric, that's not a superstar on this Bolts team right now? Who's really standing out for you?
Probably has to be Nick Paul. You know, when Braden Point went down specifically in game seven there against Toronto, he got the two goals and they win the game 2-1, took on a lot of defensive minutes. But as this playoffs has gone along, for a guy who's never been in the postseason before at the NHL level, he has fit right in his game. You know, when they acquired him, Julian Breezeball said he has a playoff-style game that we like, which is something to say for somebody who's never been in the playoffs before, but he has jumped right in. He's taken on some key defensive minutes, some key defensive zone faceoffs. He's only got three goals, and two of them came in that one game, so maybe you'd like to see some more offense out of him with some of the chances he's had. But defensively in the faceoff circle, he's kind of been an unsung hero in a lot of ways, because as good as Andrei Palat and Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, I mean, Corey Perry has five goals, Ross Colton has five goals, it's kind of been Nick Paul who's done a lot of the grunt work to help get them here, especially in the defensive end.
How do you think the top six for the Lightning will match up against the Avs defense? And by Avs defense, I mean Devon Taves and Cale Makar, because we've seen Cale Makar go into this another world of defensive structure and defensive play that we haven't really seen from the Norris Canada defensemen. Do you think the top six, as experienced they are with Tampa, are they going to be able to defeat the guys that are playing 27-30 minutes a night there in Colorado?
It's a different type of challenge, there's no doubt. You know, that's something even John Cooper talked about this morning, that, you know, you can talk about how they were able to kind of slow down the Leafs as much as they did in round one and really shut down the Panthers, two high transition teams who like to skate and push the pace. And they were able to kind of slow them teams down. Florida certainly more than others. And Colorado kind of plays the same way. The big difference, though, is the guys on the back end and the way that they can push the pace and the way that they can get up the ice, especially Makar. If you give him any opportunity to generate any speed with the puck on a stick, magical things can happen. We've certainly seen that. So that's a different type of challenge that they're going to have, you know, especially with, you know, Stamkos and Kucherov and Plott, who we expect to be the top line. And then, you know, Sorelli, Hagel, and Killorn will probably be the line that Tampa Bay wants to get out there against McKinnon, which means he'll see a lot of Makar as well. And it's a big challenge. I think the only way that you can try and slow them down is to establish your forecheck, establish it early, and not give the guys the opportunity to get clean breakouts up the ice and transition their game that way. And that has been a strength of Tampa Bay in these playoffs. They've probably been more battle tested than Colorado has, if you want to look at the path each team took. So they're understanding of that. They're ready for that, but it's a lot easier said than done.
Eric, appreciate you hopping on here. Everyone go follow Lightning Insider and go check out his work. One of the best journalists in the NHL, lightninginsider.com today. Eric, enjoy the series. Thanks again.
Right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Eric Erlandson right there, and we're going to snap it over to the other side of the Stanley Cup Final. From Mile High Sports, it's Eric Dean hopping on the show. Hey, what have you been hearing on Nazem Kadri? Let's start there.
He skated this morning without a stick, so it's not looking too good right now. I saw him walking out of Ball Arena yesterday. He was wearing like a weird slimmer kind of cast, just kind of fit to his thumb. So it looks like he's trying to wear something that could probably fit into a hockey glove down the line. But I don't know how much of a factor he's going to be in the series. If he's in, it'll be later on, maybe game 4, 5, or 6. And the thumb is just a tough injury to have for a hockey player.
Arif, you're doing a great job of absolutely ruining my prediction of game 2 or 3 for Nazem coming back here. But, you know, let's talk about him a little bit, because I myself got to see him a lot in Toronto. I'm a big London Knights fan, so I know him from his junior days with Canada at the World Juniors too, especially. What has this guy meant to this team? Because, you know, when he was, let's be honest, exiled and pretty much put into exile after leaving Toronto, we knew he was going to be a good player, but this playoff in particular, we're really seeing how good and what kind of potential 91 has, especially with the Avs.
He's been everything. He's been the X factor. I mean, we saw last year when he was out what it meant to the Avalanche against Vegas and how much of a factor that was. So Nazem Kadri playing his Nazem Kadri game is an important piece to this team. Nazem Kadri playing the game that he's played in 2022 is an even bigger factor. I guess the one silver lining for the Avalanche, if you can have one, is that JT Compher has bounced back from the poor season he had in 2021, but, you know, missing Kadri is going to suck against the Tampa Bay Lightning, whether it's for a game or 2 or 3 or 4. And even when he comes back, he's not going to have the same kind of ability to perform as he would have pre-thumb injury. So the Avalanche are just going to have to overcome this one with little to no help from Kadri, because that's the way it's looking. And, you know, it's out of your control at this point. You just got to roll with JT and hope for the best.
Arif Dean, our guest, Avs reporter at Mile High Sports, host of the Hockey Mountain High. Hey, is there some confidence in Pavel Francouz is able to get this done if Darcy Kuemper can't with the Avs, or is that kind of the one glaring difference in these two rosters?
It's unrelated to the first part of your question. Yes, it's absolutely the one glaring difference. No matter who they go with, whether Kuemper or Frankie, it's going to look like Kuemper is going to start tonight for game 1, though Jared wouldn't confirm that. He skated at morning skate in the starter's net. He's good to go. If anything happens to Kuemper where you got to turn to Francouz, you've done it twice before. Here's the reality for the Avalanche. Your goalie's not going to win you a series. Tampa Bay, their goalie can win them a series. If you're the Avs, your goalie's not going to steal 2 or 3 games, and maybe I'll eat those words down the line, and if so, great. But your goalie's not going to steal you a series. You just need one of Kuemper or Francouz not to lose you a series. Because if Francouz is letting in bad goals like the one against Ryan McLeod in game 3 against Edmonton, if Kuemper is letting in bad goals like the couple that he gave up in game 1, granted it looks like he had some eyesight issues, which is why he had to pull himself. If you let in those kind of bad goals and you have Andrei Vasilevskiy doing his thing at the other side, you're out of luck. You're not going to make it far in the series. So you don't need Kuemper or Frankie to win you a series. You just need them to be, I don't know, what Chris Osgood was to the Red Wings for so many years. Just there to do enough to get you by.
Well, there goes my Hall of Fame push for Landon Donald to get Ozzie in the Hall of Fame. Thanks, Eric. But, yeah, especially for a guy that was, you know,
Michigan. I gotta say, I grew up in Detroit. I've seen a lot of Chris Osgood. He's a cool guy. He gets it done in the big moments, but he played behind a pretty stacked roster. He needed to be good, not great, and he was good in those moments.
Yeah, no question about it. Love Oz. He got a poster right behind the camera here, Arif. But, you know, you mentioned going up against Andrei Vasilevskiy for the Avalanche here, and, you know, we saw what they can do, you know, scoring 8 goals against Edmonton, scoring 8 goals against Nashville. But this is the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions, Arif. Can the Avs, if for some reason, you know, Frankie or Kuemper start to have a little bit of a tough go, can they find a way to outscore their problems? Or do you think that it comes down to the fact they might have to win a couple 3-2 games here?
I mean, they can do both. They've proven it all season. They've beaten good teams in defensive matchups. They've beaten good teams in offensive back and forth matchups. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning are the two-time defending cup champions, and this is going to be the hardest opponent the Avalanche have seen in the playoffs, and this is going to be unlike anything they've ever seen. But if you take it to the other side and you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, you can literally say the exact same thing. This is unlike anything they've seen in the playoffs. I know they played the Florida Panthers, but the Florida Panthers were not as well-rounded as the Avs. The Toronto Maple Leafs have the offensive power. They don't have the Cale Makar and the Devon Toews. You put those two guys on Toronto, they're automatically the top two defensemen. The Stanley Cup finalists, they've played the past 2 years, the Dallas Stars, the Montreal Canadiens, even the New York Islanders in the third round both years. Those are defensive teams that try to shut you down and choke the offense out of you. So when you look at it from the Tampa Bay side, this as well is going to be unlike anything they faced. So they're going to need to adjust to that. They're great at adjusting. They're kind of like a UFC fighter that spends a round or two feeling out their opponent, and then they strike. That's what we saw against the Rangers in game three. But this is going to be unlike anything they faced. The Avs can get the offense. It's just a matter of hoping and making sure you don't let Vasilevsky get hot.
Eric, I got one more quick one for you here. Obviously, the whole rest versus rust debate we just had with Eric Erlandson too. But in a series where Colorado's come out flying in their series to start, especially against the Oilers there, and Tampa Bay's really struggled, should we be hammering the over in this one? Are we going to see a lot of goals tonight?
I think so. I think we'll see a lot of goals. And the rest versus rust conversation, I know it's been around for basically decades. The last three or four teams that have had this long a layover going into the Stanley Cup final, which goes back to like the Anaheim Ducks in 03, the Mighty Ducks, I should say, neither of them have won in the Stanley Cup final, but things are different now. The Avalanche are the only team that had two very long COVID pauses in 2021. They swept out of the first round in round one last year and blew up Vegas in game one. They swept out of round one this year and they blew up the St. Louis Blues in game one. And they're sweeping out of Edmonton. So they've had a lot of long breaks that normally a hockey team doesn't have. They've had a lot of those in the last 18 months. And I don't put a lot of stock into that conversation as much, especially for a team that relies on their legs and on skating. I'm no hockey expert, but I think it's a lot better to come out rested when you're a team that's got the speed the Avalanche does than a team that might rely more on their shooting and other abilities.
Well, if you don't put a whole lot of stock, Arif, into the rust versus rest, how much stock do you put into the how important games one and two are? Obviously, we have 2 days off between one and two, next one being up on Saturday, but if Colorado doesn't win both games at home, how much do you think that's going to factor when they have to go back to Amalie Arena for games three and four?
Game three is the big one for me. I always consider game three to be the big matchup because game three is the one where a team can either get a 3-0 hold, and that's a stranglehold of the series, or they're the team that goes up 2-1 and says, hey, all we have to do is not lose 3 of 4 and we win the Stanley Cup. Games 1 and 2, it's hard to put a lot of stock into it because the Avs were 1-1 heading into St. Louis. They won both games there. The Rangers took a 2-0 lead on Tampa Bay, lost the next four. The Avalanche took a 2-0 lead on Vegas last year, lost the next four. The first two games are every game is big because you got to get to four, and 1, 2, and 3 count just as much as four when you get, to win a series. But game three is always the deciding factor. You take a 2-1 or 3-0 series lead, that's the one that puts you in the driver's seat.
Arif, thank you so much for hopping on. Enjoy the series. Love the coverage and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Arif Dean right there from Mile High Sports. Hopping on, the chat's buzzing. We're going to get to all of that in a second. Liam Wolf is in there, says Lightning in four. Now that's a hot take if I've ever seen one.
Okay. Calm down over there.
Jomo's in here. We got a Preds fan, one Preds fan. Jomo Keith says, hi, what's going on? Christian, we already know you're an Avs fan. Let's go Avs. We know where you're standing with that.
Such a big Avs fan for VJK there.
Yeah, I know. Big Avs fan also dabbles with Vegas. Danelle, we all know for sure this finals will not be a sweep by either team. Lightning in 6 or 7, vice versa, Avalanche in 6 or 7 could go either way. Well, we both picked the Lightning. Adam's the only one to ride with the Avs. I just don't think their goaltending can get it done, especially if we start going down to clutch games. I don't see those being high scoring ones, and that's where I factor them out. This was a great comment though, Danelle. Shout out to you. I mean, you're up there for fan of the day already with this one, because this is the first nationally televised game or series in the States that's going to be on free TV.
like regular TV. You don't have to buy an extra package for ESPN, NBC Sports, whatever it is. The full series is going to be available to watch for free for everyone on ABC. I love that. That's got to be awesome for you guys down south.
Yeah, well, you know, Peyton Turns and I have had our discussions about it, but you know, listen, it's great. You know, that's the deal with ESPN was so important for a lot of, for the players, especially, you know, we talk about it. There's only 7 Canadian teams in the NHL. You know, there's a lot of others, 25 now that are in the States. And you kind of, you know, when you turn on SportsCenter in the morning, because not everyone is Jason Spezza and have NHL Network, myself included. So when you go on SportsCenter, you want all the sports. Well, unfortunately, prior to this deal, it was, you know, oh, here's a quick 30-second clip of Ovechkin scoring a goal, Caps 1-3-2. And, oh, here's one goal by Nathan MacKinnon and Avs win 4-3. You know, stuff like that. But now they're actually analyzing the games. They're actually talking about the games. You know, John Buchagross is hosting a daily show. And, you know, Greg Wyshynski and Eric, they're hosting shows all the time on ESPN+. There's more coverage. And now we have the big E60 coming up later this month with the Red Wings and the Avalanche rivalry. Like, there's more attention being put on hockey by the worldwide leader in sports. That's why I think this is such a big deal. And you know what? It's going to get some good numbers. You got the NBA Finals wrapping up here in a couple days too. So ABC, the lone focus here next week, Janner, is going to be the Stanley Cup Finals. So not a bad deal at all. I do agree.
BC Hockey Podcast. What's going on? The dynamic duo, Cody, Tyler, we're hanging out with you. It's Stanley Cup Finals game number one. Huge thanks to Eric Erlandson and Eric Dean for hopping on. We still got a lot more coming up in the show today. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at World Hockey RPT. We still have Chris Kryn coming up as well. Billy's Smelling Salts, the best place to go buy smelling salts. Go to shopbillys.co today, punch in promo code WHR, and you can get ready to win just like the athletes do, as well as SeatGeek. Well, that's our big guest today. Eric Dean is our big guest today for SeatGeek. Use promo code WHR and get $20 off your first purchase. Hey, Danelle's wants one more before we head off to a commercial break. Have you guys saw on social media yesterday, LeBron James looking at the Stanley Cup and touched it? I did see that. I was going to tweet it out before the show and we started talking, so I got busy, but I loved it. At any time, and again, say what you want about LeBron, he's an absolute flopper in the game of basketball. The NBA sucks to watch. It's a terrible league. LeBron's an absolute baby who's got to run his team. But for someone like that, with that big of a brand, to be talking about hockey, to be invested in hockey in any which way is great for the game.
Hey, listen, one thing, and this is why, I mean, it's awesome that LeBron's been on the cup and awesome taking pictures with it. That's great. But Charles Barkley did it right. Charles Barkley did it right there, Janner. He didn't touch the cup because he believes that if you want to touch a trophy, you have to win the trophy. And Charles Barkley, unfortunately, has never won a world championship of any kind. But when the cup came on set on NBA and TNT, it was a big deal. So I applaud the guy for understanding the dare you say superstitions or tradition, what have you. But like I said, having LeBron take pictures with it, it's cool. It's not Michael Jordan taking a picture with it, but it's still cool, I guess.
Man, I'm a big Charles Barkley guy. Like, I love TNT studio coverage. I thought that was awesome. But hey, we'll dive into TV coverage, wrap all that stuff up after the season. We got to head off to a commercial break, though, because when we come back, it's Chris Kryn, Tampa Bay Lightning beat reporter, joining us live on World Hockey Report. We're coming to you tonight for the next, 31 minutes or so. Back after the break.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
It's Stanley Cup playoff time in the NHL, and if you want to save some money on your next ticket purchase, sign up for SeatGeek and use promo code WHR when checking out. It's that simple on SeatGeek. When you use promo code WHR on your first purchase, you'll save $20.
What we do here is go back.
It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen, Tyler Cool with you. We are hanging out. It's a Wednesday. It's game one. Yes, we're pumped. Yes, hockey's going to be played tonight, and it's going to be the best damn Stanley Cup final we've seen since 2019. So we are excited.
2009. Still sticking with it. 2009.
That's the best one of all time in your mind?
No. Oh, gosh, no. Not the best one of all time.
That's the last best one.
Anticipated one of all time. There we go.
Okay. Well, I'm going back to 2019 because I thought Blues and Bruins was unbelievable. But I am excited to see this one as well. Huge thanks. We've had a couple of great guests coming up still. Chris Krenn's going to join us. Tampa Bay Lightning beat writer hopping on the show. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. I'm personally there at Janner on PXP. Oh, I don't even remember yours off the tar. Is it TJKU29?
Yeah.
TJKU29.
Yep, that's my initials. Unfortunately, when I was a kid, I started doing it a lot because I'm a big fan of Rob Van Dam. Always was the wrestler. Brattle Creek, Michigan born, so kind of a local guy to West Michigan. And so I'm like, oh yeah, my initials are TJK. My dad always called me TJ when I was a kid. So yeah, so it became my moniker, if you will, and now it's even my license plate. So there you go. If you need to know where to follow me, just check out my Subaru Forester.
I don't think you're supposed to give out your license plate on here, but the next T-Cool Tuesday would be coming on a Game 7. I believe that's also my birthday. But okay, that's enough of us. We got to snap it over. Our next guest, Chris Krenn, joins us, Tampa Bay Lightning beat reporter. Chris, we've been talking about it for, you know, with Eric and Arif already on the show. But Braden Point getting injected back into the lineup tonight, that's the likely, you know, scenario for them. How big of a game changer is this for the Bolts, where they just add to their depth? Well, Colorado, they're still without depth and missing Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, he's just such a great player on both ends of the ice, and they've missed him a lot. I mean, they've done great without him, but you have a guy like Anthony Cirelli who has been able to play that shutdown role, and he's done such a great job with that. And a lot of the time, Braden Point kind of has that same assignment. He's been, in some shutdown roles in the past. So maybe you could take some of that pressure off of Cirelli. Maybe Point does a little bit more of that. Or if not, you're kind of taking the pressure off of Point, right? He's just so good on both ends of the ice. He can drive offense. He has some really good chemistry with some guys on the team, especially Nikita Kucherov. And Kuch likes to play the game a little bit slower and not necessarily slow in pace. But when you have a guy like Point, he can kind of speed into the zone and push the wave back a little bit and dump it off to Kuch, who has a little bit more time just to survey the zone. And he's such a creative player and has such great vision. So they're a great pair. And not only him being on the ice, but you could just tell from a mental standpoint that the group was really happy to have him back out there on the ice, and everyone was in good spirits. So I think it'll provide both a physical and an emotional boost.
What do you think, Chris, about the reinsertion of Point, and you know how much you think he's actually going to make a difference in this first game? It's not like Nikita Kucherov in game one against Florida last year, where, let's be honest, he was pretty healthy going into that first game. We don't need to go into the cap circumvention and all that, whatever. That's a discussion we've already had. But is Braden Point going to be a guy that can put up one or two points tonight? Or do you think right now he's just going to try to find his legs in this first game of the finals?
It's tough to say because we haven't really seen him skate too much with the whole team. He's been doing a lot of stuff kind of after morning skates and a lot of individual drills and things like that. Yesterday was kind of the first day we really saw him skating with the whole team. And to be honest, he looked really, really good. I mean, it's a huge jump for him. Obviously, it'd be a huge jump going into a regular season game, but going into the Stanley Cup final is kind of a whole different animal. But I will say, I mean, I was really impressed with how he looked yesterday, just doing two-on-ones, and they did a three-on-three small area game, and he looked like his regular self. You know, I'm sure he's obviously playing pretty beaten up, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a really good game. He's just such an impact player, and he plays huge in the playoffs, so it's going to be tough for him to come back. And like I said, it's kind of tough to gauge exactly where he's at and how he's going to be, but yesterday was the first time we saw him really doing some battle drills and being involved in a full practice, like I said, and he looked really good. So we'll see.
Chris Cran, our guest here, Tampa Bay Lightning beat reporter. Chris, is there any concern around the Bolts, you know, fan base, fandom about Andrei Vasilevskiy's start to series? I mean, his goals against average is over 4 and his save percentage is drastically lower than, you know, games 2 through 7.
He does seem to get better as series go on, that's for sure. But the whole team does. You know, they have really played too well in game ones over the past few years. John Cooper talked about it. It's just hard, especially in a Stanley Cup final, because it's a team that you never see. And they've been so good at making adjustments in each series. I mean, obviously they swept Florida, but in the Toronto series and the New York series, and just in past playoffs too, they've done such a good job with identifying things that they need to be better at, identifying things that their opponent is good at, and making the necessary adjustments. I think you saw that big time in the Eastern Conference Final against the Rangers. The Rangers were making those east-west passes in the Lightning zone and scoring a lot that way, and the Lightning just made adjustments, and that kind of stopped as the series went on. And the main thing for them is just to be strong defensively. I think they're in a really good spot right now with that. And to me, if they can play that way in their own zone, it just helps Vasi kind of get into his groove a little bit and get into his zone. So I wouldn't be too concerned about him, honestly. I mean, you're right. He has struggled a little bit in game ones this postseason, I can think of in particular. But to me, he's just the best goalie in the world. And he's always played his best when the lights are shining the brightest and in the biggest moments. So I think he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers on elimination games are obviously ridiculous, but another guy that's been ridiculous in these playoffs has been Andrei Palat. 8 goals, 8 assists, you know, the all-time playoff goal, game-winning goal scorer for in the history of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know we're looking maybe a little too far beyond the series here, but has Andrei Palat played himself so well that he might not be able to get a contract with Tampa Bay because his stock right now is at its highest it's ever been?
Yeah, I mean, I think even before the playoffs, that was kind of looking like it would be the case. I think within the NHL, I think a lot of teams and front offices and coaches know the value that he has. He's such a good player. He's 100% every shift. He's kind of the straw that stirs the drink. He never takes a shift off, and he does all the little things right. And to have a guy that can kind of get in on the forecheck and be aggressive, but also have that little bit of a scoring touch as well, there's really not a lot of guys like him in the NHL. And yeah, obviously his great postseason is going to raise his stock as well, just as we've seen with kind of some of the other players that have come and gone with the Lightning, like the Blake Colemans and the Barkley Goodrows, guys like that. It's tough to say. I think he's 31 years old right now. But when you have rings and you perform well in the playoffs, chances are that there's a team out there that's going to throw you some money, and I'm sure the Lightning would love to keep him, and I'm sure they'll do whatever they can, but it's just so tight, and you know, guys have to do what's best for their families and for the rest of their lives. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I know they would love to keep him, but in my opinion, like you're right. These playoffs have kind of pushed him over a little bit, and everyone's watching, and he's also getting a lot of talk in the media, you know? So even if his name's just out there a lot, and he's a great player, I think if he goes to a different team, wherever he goes, whatever team he goes to, they'll be happy to have him, despite the fact that he's getting a little bit more up there in age. He's got some years left in him for sure. And
yeah,
he's just a really great player. He's been a great player here for a long time. It would be sad to see him go, but we'll see.
Chris, one guy that no one's been able to stop this season, and he's definitely a step above Adam Fox. We aren't even going to go there, but it's Cale Makar. How do you think the Bolts are going to be able to slow this guy down? Because he's been the difference maker for them in every series they've played where no one's been able to get to him. They can't hit him. They can't bang him up. And you can't stop him when the guy's on the rush.
I've never seen a defenseman skate like him. And just his edge work is insane. It's just next level. And, you know, for them, I guess it would start on the forecheck and getting in really hard on the forecheck. They've been their best this postseason when they've kind of simplified things and they get over the red, they dump it in, and they forecheck really hard. That's what they're going to have to do, I would imagine, against a guy like him and get him turned around, get him going back into his own zone and picking up the puck. But, you know, we've seen him so many times do that, and he can just be a one-man breakout all by himself. He's an incredible talent, and there's not too many defensemen in this league that teams specifically have to game plan for. You know, a lot of times you're trying to shut down a guy like a MacKinnon or an Austin Matthews or a Zibanejad, any of those guys. But now you have to kind of focus on shutting down a defenseman and then also dealing with the star power they have up front. So it's kind of one of those things, right? Like, you probably can't stop him, but just try to contain him as much as you can and eliminate his time and space as best as you can. But to be honest, I'm excited to see him play. You know, I don't get to watch the West too much, but I've seen bits and pieces of him here and there and seen his highlights, obviously, and watched him a little bit when he was at UMass. And he's just such a talent. And it's really cool to see him and Victor Hedman kind of going head to head. And then you have the star powers of the other guys I mentioned. So a lot of really good players. The Lightning have done a good job as series have gone on of eliminating some of the other team's top players. But like I said, it's different. It's a defenseman. So I'll be interested to see kind of how they attack him and what their plan is for him, because he's one hell of a player. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, not even the great Paul Coffey could skate like Cale Makar. Yeah. I mean, it's how crazy is it that we're going to a series, you're going up against Colorado, and you're not talking about, all right, here's what we need to do to stop MacKinnon. It's here's what we need to do to stop Makar. But yeah. I mean, this is obviously a deep Avalanche team. It's not just Makar and Landeskog and MacKinnon. Obviously, Nazem Kadri's out for the first couple games, but who from the Avalanche else outside of their top guys that you look at and say, we should probably watch out for them?
I mean, I go back to Bo Byram. I remember him coming out in the draft, and he was such a high-end prospect, and I know he dealt with some issues earlier in the year, but he's really talented. And then obviously you have Devon Taves on the other side of Makar. I'll be interested to see how the Lightning can attack those two guys and if they can have some success while those two guys are on the ice, because that's a top pair in the NHL, if not the top pair. And then you have the guy like Lehkonen, who, you know, he scores big goals. He scored some clutch goals. You mentioned Kadri. I would imagine he'll probably play at some point in the series, and he's a game changer. I mean, the regular season that guy had and the playoffs, he was playing great hockey. He's a very underrated player. Like you said, they're just deep. They're a really deep team. You have Nichushkin, who I think is playing on that top line with MacKinnon. Big body, really big body, and kind of has revitalized his career a little bit here. You could go on and on. I mean, Manson, there's just a lot of talent, and they're deep. Like you said, this is definitely the deepest team the Lightning have played. They can roll four lines and keep coming in waves at you. So I'm excited to watch Bo Byram. I think he's just, like I said, he was such a high-end prospect coming out, and then he missed a lot of time this year and kind of didn't get talked about too much. And then he's come back, and he's just strong, steady. They have a lot of really good defensemen over there.
Chris, we'll leave it at this. You got any update on Hagel for us? Is he going to go in game one?
I don't. I mean, I saw he was out there for optional morning skate. I haven't heard anything since, but he's had some, I guess game time decisions a little bit going through these playoffs. I can't imagine how he would have re-aggravated anything really. He played in that last game against New York, obviously, and he was practicing. I don't think he missed a practice until yesterday, if I recall correctly. So he's out there this morning, probably testing out whatever is going on with him. But if I had to make a guess, I would say he'd play. It's a Stanley Cup final. He's a tough kid. He's a Western Canadian kid. So I know he wants to be.
It's all there. John Cooper mind games. We'll write the headline for you, yeah. Chris. Hey, yeah, thank you so much for hopping on, man. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the series. You're the best.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Chris Ken right there, Tampa Bay Lightning beat reporter. Chat's buzzing. We'll get to it. There was an interesting comment by Danny. I want to go back to that, producer Eric. We can pull it up.
Tabernacle. We can't say that on the air, can we? all of our French Canadian fans out there.
Yeah, all three of them. Hey, Tampa can't handle speed. Colorado, keep the speed.
they win if that's a horribly written comment. I thought that was a lot better. Danny, we got to work on your English there. And I get it.
He must, obviously, must be saying Tabernacle.
If they don't, Tampa wins. So essentially the faster team wins that one. Jack's in the comment. We know, or Jacob, pardon me, Bruce, there it is. Yes, Cassidy's going to Vegas. Maybe we'll get some thoughts on that after the commercial break.
No, you cannot steal the Vancouver Canucks thing, okay? No, Jack, that's wrong.
No, I love it. I love it. Steal it from Canucks fans. Those scumbags. No, because
the Golden Knights don't
anything.
Need anything more, Janner. They already haven't. They already have, what, $25 million over the cap, and they haven't even looked at free agency yet. Like, come on now.
Jacob says Tampa and six. So yeah, we're right on board with you there, Jacob. I said six. Tyler said seven. Bolts win 4-2 tonight. I don't know about that one. 4-2 tonight. I'm more leaning towards Danny saying 6-5 Colorado. Like
that sounds about right. I'm up for another 12 goal night here.
I honestly, again, I think 5-4 Colorado, 5-4 Tampa.
We need to start this with a bang, Janner. We need triple overtime tonight. We need our Twitter spaces to be going on at 5 o'clock Eastern time AM. That's what we need.
I'd be going 6-12 if we're getting triple overtime in game one of the Stanley Cup. Jacob's just going to be trolling you here. So we might as well head off to a commercial break, because when we come back, we got a lot more to wrap up. There's about 10 minutes left in World Hockey Report. You're hanging out with us on Hockey Podcast Network, 12 Ounce Sports. We are back after the break.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
It's Stanley Cup playoff time in the NHL, and if you want to save some money on your next ticket purchase, sign up for SeatGeek and use promo code WHR when checking out. It's that simple on SeatGeek. When you use promo code WHR on your first purchase, you'll save $20.
What we do here is go back.
Game one, are you ready for it?
My Rolls Royce here, Janner.
Game one. I'm jamming out. I'm buzzing. I'm feeling it. Stanley Cup final. Here we are. It absolutely sucks. It blows. The Oilers aren't in. They should be in. But
What a start to the show. I mean, we've been buzzing. Our guests have been unbelievable. Like, huge shout out, Eric Erlandson, Lightning Insider. Go check out his work. Chris Kren, Tampa Bay Lightning beat writer. Arif Dean from Mile High Sports. Got some awesome guests on this show here. Again, if you had a question, get it in right now. I want some predictions. I want hot takes. I want all of that in the chat right now where you're not showing up on screen. Epic's there, 6-2 Tampa. Epic must hate Colorado's goaltending. Pat Maroon hat trick. Hey, Epic, if that wins, we'll give you a, if that happens tonight, what do you want? $100 gift card to player? $150 gift card?
He'll get a $100 gift card to whatever he wants. And then we're also going to give away a free, we'll give a Patrick Maroon sweater away on the show.
Like, I'll do honestly, it. I'll do it.
Okay, game Pat- one tonight, I will pay for a authentic Patrick Maroon sweater and send it to a lucky fan. That's what I will do.
Epic, how's that sound? You got to write deal in the comments or else it doesn't cash. But Pat Maroon sweater and $100 gift card to Player Athletics, the absolute best. Also, shout out, if you're not using hashtag WHROT challenge when games go to overtime, you're missing out on so much free swag.
What are you doing?
We're going to be making these draws after. So post game, again, let's someone knock on wood. As long as everything goes good, as long as Cody is in speaking form, maybe Tyler might have to fill in. We're doing Twitter spaces again, post game at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. That's where we're going to announce our contestants for the annual WHROT Challenge Award. We're going to pick one per game. So if there's four games, there's four. And they go on a wheel at the end, we pick the winner. If there's seven, there's seven. They go on a wheel, we pick the winner because you fans are the absolute best. Great prize package from Player Athletics and all of our great sponsors, including Pro Rock. That's where we're coming to you live from, the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Yes, my camera is off. I left my tripod on the ground, and I may or may not have stepped on it. We won't talk about that, though, Tyler. Hey, a lot of comments coming in. I want you to jump in on this one with Adam. I don't know about this exactly, but do you got any insight here?
No, but I mean, so right now everything's tentative. There's been an agreement that they could move forward with the plans. Now, nothing's been set in stone yet. Obviously, the new arena in Tempe for the Arizona Coyotes. Janner, you know how I feel about this sort of thing. It's just, it feels like, you know, it's almost like a kid that doesn't want to be like a doctor that keeps getting put into, you know, into medical school by his parents. And eventually he just finally snaps and it doesn't work out. Like, that's what the Arizona Coyotes feel like. I know it's a horrible analogy, but
that's a wild analogy.
But that's my point, though. It seems like I remember for my SAT argumentative essay in 2012, 10 years ago, Janner, I wrote about how the Phoenix Coyotes should no longer be a franchise. And we're here a decade later still having this conversation. If it works, awesome. But until I see honest to goodness commitment from this ownership group and by this management group that actually shows that, you know, they want to be a responsible franchise, because we saw with what Katie Strang reported on how the Rodriguez family and how Bill Armstrong has conducted themselves over the last how many years, I don't know. I'm not super excited about this team moving forward, because it just seems like they're not into it. They're not being fiscally responsible. And it just seems like there's a big black cloud over this management group. I'm sorry, Adam. I know there's big Yotes fans out there, but
yeah. I'll let you and Adam throw some haymakers as we get back into the cup. Steven Parks is there. Colorado Avalanche going to win the cup. Actually, I got one last one on the Coyotes. You know, you guys don't have I won't say the brand name. You know, those like pop-up tents that you can just like drop out of the back of your truck and they pop up. That's what the Coyotes need. Just a pop-up rink. Just something you can just throw on the ground, pops up and it's going.
Don't they have those nice rinks, whatever, like the little brackets, and you just flood the ice and there you go. I mean,
yeah,
the
hockey in Macedonia, except it'll be in Tempe. Danelle, congrats on the new rink. Well, hey, we don't need congrats. Maybe Adam does. Adam's probably the one building it. He's in here. He's like, hey, you idiots. I'm informed on this one. He was actually right on a few things. So Adam's my guy. He's my go-to guy when it comes to Yotes. He's an awesome follow as well, hopping in the chat there. Danelle said, I do agree that other people that love the NHL, like Charles Barkley and Snoop Dogg, and I think Shaq, I believe that Charles Barkley did say at the Stanley Cup playoffs is the best playoffs. He did say that. So I agree with that. I love seeing outside celebrities get involved with the game. I don't give a damn if it's Justin Bieber, Josh Richards, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James.
Shaquille O'Neal didn't even know the LA Kings existed. Remember when they asked him about that? Or like the LA team. What's their name? The LA team. They play in the same arena.
But no, like I love that because it's awesome for the game. It grows the game. It's more people talking about it. Like, dude, I mean, you see like Kodak Black at games, Will Ferrell, who's that?
Yeah, Kodak Black at games. All right. Yeah, he's paying attention.
Well, it's a whole nother story. I don't know. There's a rapper in New York. I should know the names, but like, I don't know. I'm all for celebrities at the games. Okay. Stephen Park says 6-2 Avs tonight.
Danny, 6-2 scores.
So Danny Tabernak, we thought he was French. He's also got a Leafs emoticon. What do you call that? The profile picture on YouTube?
Avatar, yeah.
Avatar, like that. Colorado in six. Danny, did you give us a score yet for tonight? I don't know if you did or not. There's so many comments and stuff coming in here. So Danny, if you got a score, hammer that one in right now. Tim Long says
25 Tampa. That's a good score.
I think he means 5-2.
I know. I was just kidding.
So
you
I
got the whole hyphen.
Tim, I don't mind that. 5-2. I think I said 5-4 Tampa. Did you give your official score? You were on triple overtime, but what's your official pick?
I say like it just we mentioned Vasilevsky's poor numbers in the first two games of the series. We mentioned the Bolts' slow starts to the series. I'm saying 6-4 Avs. 6-4 Avs. I think it'll be an empty netter, but if it goes 6-5 in overtime, not gonna be angry. I mean, hey, at least, you know, at least if it goes to overtime, Jenner, at least it'll be before midnight where you're at. I mean, it'll be like 1 o'clock in the morning here on the Eastern Seaboard.
That's fair. I love late games, though. Tim's he's a good spirit about that. We're going to have to get producer Eric to screen through some of these comments a little better. Adam's not done with you yet, Tyler. He's going to chew you and spit you out. Adding $30 million to stay in Arizona, is that not a commitment?
That's a hell of a lot of money. Adam, it is. It's just, I don't know. Like, if you can't pay for toilet paper and paper towels, like if those are bounce checks, I'm sorry, Adam, this has been a long battle between myself and the Arizona Coyotes. I know a lot of great guys. Louis Pinon's a good buddy of mine. We worked together at the Hockey Writers, had him on all the time. And I want the team to do well. I want the players there to do well. And I know there's a lot of great fans down there, but the ownership groups they've had over the years have found ways to turn everyone sour. That's been the issue with me. I mean, that's why do you think Buffalo right now? I mean, obviously, you know, our condolences with the Pegula family.
Thoughts and
right
prayers
now.
To Kim Pegula before we start burying the Buffalo Sabres.
No, that's what I said. I'm like, our condolences with the family. But let's be honest, over the past few years, the Pegula family has fallen out of favor with the Sabres fans because of that sort of thing. No matter how people feel about the players on the ice, they might have some disdain towards the ownership group. And that's what I say about the Coyotes. I want the team to do well. I want the fans to cheer for their team, but the ownership group has certainly made me feel a little uneasy about them. That's my thing.
I'm pissed off at the Coyotes. They should have a rink at Scottsdale. I'm sorry, Tempe. You're awesome, but Scottsdale's where I want to be.
They should be allowed to play in the biggest city in the state.
No. Just go to Scottsdale. I'm telling you, anyone who's been to Arizona knows Scottsdale is the best. It's badass. It's unbelievable. And I love Scottsdale. It's
awesome. Matthews will go there if they move to Scottsdale. That's right.
That's true. No, my third favorite city in the States. Number one, Chicago. Number two, Missoula. Number three, Scottsdale. Danelle, okay, we got time for like one more comment. A lot of people don't want the Lightning to three-peat. Everyone wants the Avs to win in the end. Tampa Bay's run. I want to see a three-peat. I think that's sweet. JT Miller, who's got a football avatar, says, sup. He's hopping in a little late, but he's a Bolts guy too. Tim's now changing his pick. Tim, you got to pick one here. I would agree with you.
Tim, no peer pressure. Don't let people tell you what to do. Be your own man. Yeah.
John the Butcher says, let's go Predators. Well, there was a Preds guy in earlier. I don't know how we got on the Predators train. Hey, you got any coaching thoughts? You got 20 seconds. The floor is yours. Bruce Cassidy, John Tortorella, Barry Trotz. I don't give a damn. Go off.
Cassidy going to Vegas picked up a lot of steam after he was let go. And had he stayed in Boston, it might have been Montgomery. It might have been Trotz. But, you know, I think that'll be a good fit. He'll get the guys in order there. He knows how to coach a veteran team. That's why I think he became a favorite to go to Vegas. Torts, I don't know what he's trying to no, just don't do it. I mean, it'd be the most Philly thing to do. The most Flyers thing to do is bring back a coach that shouldn't be coaching. Well, I mean, that's their mantra over there. Trotz, it could be Winnipeg, could be Detroit. I've heard that there's whispers that he might buy a place in Nashville, then that the Predators have said that if they want, you know, if he wants to become management, sure. So there's options for the former Jack Adams guy for sure.
I knew you'd go off on Tortorella. Well, I love him.
We don't have enough time for me to go
off. You hate him. We don't got enough time for that. Stanley Cup final game one tonight. Oh, man. It's been a blast. Always fun. Again, WHR OT Challenge. We're going to be doing quick spaces after the games. As always, you can find us on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. That's where we are at. I'm on Twitter at Janner on PXP. Tyler's there. TJKU29. Until next week, everyone, be kind, be better. Oh,